So I'm Claire Hedin, and I am a musician, a singer, an educator, and researcher of consciousness. So I'm interested in exploring the dynamic possibilities of us as a creative collective. So what I've got out of being here so far is obviously being in good company and seeing what's been going on technologically and how that relates to just the human dilemma, if you will, or the human potential.
And you feel that successful being here?
Well, yes. I think it's very hard to stay excited if you're alone. And because this is such an enormous subject that needs to shift, to be able to do it as a collective, it takes away the doubt. And I think it reinforces what's possible. It gives us a chance to cross-fertilize too.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people stay in their own silos and not getting out of them. And I think probably an event, my opinion is, an event like this enables people to cross over and find people who are in other fields doing different things. Although there may be a little bit of resistance because people don't know about what other people do. And as you know, possibly you do know, that the education world is quite sort of locked in on itself, and the other fields are quite locked in on themselves, and they both need to open out and talk to each other.
Well, I agree, and I think that should be reflected in how we expect people to keep learning, so that the learning process needs to become so much more equal between what we call the teacher and what we call the student.
That's it. Thank you so much. Does anyone else want to make an... Yep, go on. Who are you and what are you doing here?
I'm Margaret Apper, and I teach drawing. So I teach a course called So You Think You Can't Draw. And I'm fascinated by the relationship between the attitudes towards the arts and the concept of creativity, because what I'm realizing in my job, and I'm also involved in an annual residential arts event, where we're beginning to realize that arts, the arts with a capital A, are simply a very small part of creativity, and that every person has creativity within them, but we need to broaden our outlook and move away from this perception that I'm not creative if I'm not an artist.
Right, okay. I'm just interested also in people's opinions of the fact that the arts is now being kind of marginalised by the government, saying it's a soft subject, it's not needed on the curriculum. What's your view on that?
My view on it being a soft subject? Very far from it. If I take my students, for example, and I teach drawing, they are absolutely astounded at how exhausted they are at the end of a session. They realise very quickly that the arts are actually all-encompassing. They encompass the whole person. It isn't just about using the brain or using the hands, which is how we look at education now. It's either academic or it's vocational, one or the other. But actually, the arts are the whole person. And so therefore it is. It's demanding of intelligence. It's demanding of the body being involved. It's demanding of the whole person. Not an easy option.
The option. Okay. Anyone else want to? Do you want to?
I'm excited at the approach that education is about releasing the potential and the gems that lie within. And so children are not empty vessels that we, through the education system, pour our knowledge into. On the contrary, they are these minds that are rich in gems of inestimable value, if you will, and that really the education process is about refining those gems. It's about polishing them. It's about finding them and releasing them and revealing them, and then allowing them to go out into the world and contribute through their passions that have been revealed into the betterment of society. So I'm excited at that possibility and that perspective of education, which I think is very different to perhaps the approach that we have at the present time.
That's really interesting. And can I ask you?
Hello, yes. My name's Kenneth Tharp. I'm a former dancer, teacher and choreographer, but I'm now chief executive of The Place, which is one of the UK's premier centre for contemporary dance, where I'm also pleased to say Ken Robinson is one of our patrons. We're absolutely committed to nurturing creativity and learning, both in people who specialise in dance, but also we do a lot of work in ordinary schools with young children. One of the programs we've been developing for several years is called Learn Physical, where we use movement to help children achieve, to learn core curriculum subjects. And if you talk to teachers, the teachers will observe that the children are totally engaged. They learn quite complex and retain quite complex information. It embraces different learning styles. It's probably what we'd refer to as embodied learning. And especially in London, in the borough of Camden, where we are now and where my organization is based, where there are over 36 different languages spoken and where English is often a second or third language, we need different ways of approaching learning. And this is what we were talking about just before you came up. I think we were provoked by the last speaker, Professor Ken Spores, and we were saying that actually there is a huge amount of expertise out there in this gathering here today, and there seems a huge gap between that that knowledge and expertise and ministers in government who are sometimes in post for a couple of years, who make these pronouncements and and there's suddenly a new change of direction, and there seems to be a huge gap. And I think we're doing a huge, huge disservice to the next generation of young people if we do not really begin to embrace in education the importance of creativity and the arts as a whole, because they are, for me, they have a profound and vital role to play in the holistic education of all young people.
So did you four know each other before?
Claire and I, we actually met at a previous TEDx event in Alborough almost a year ago. So we knew each other, but I've really enjoyed meeting new people here today as well.
Because I found it really fascinating to see four people huddled together, even after everyone's gone to the bar, still talking.
Exactly.
Well, we were also following instructions, because we were actually told to make friends with other people and have conversations with other people.
True.
And that's what this event is all about, isn't it? It's actually about connecting with others and hearing other ideas, which is really exciting. I mean, I'm really excited about what you're doing. Yeah.
I think I just wanted to respond. What was your name, sorry?
So Kenneth.
Kenneth, I'm Natasha. Margaret and I have worked for, over a decade together on a project called the Baha'i Academy for the Arts. And we have, by definition, had to respond to the changing needs and our changing understanding of what education, creativity, the arts, etc. is about. So I think change, as we know, is part of creativity, is it not? Because creativity, according to Ken Robinson, and I think we all agree, is not an event, it's a process. But the thing is, just in responding to what you were saying, I think that change, if it comes as a result of learning, if it's a response to learning that has been accumulated, and I think this is what you are saying, is that there are huge numbers of people with a wealth of experience and knowledge and learning. And if we can pool that experience and that the learning that's being drawn together, I think the way forward looks remarkably exciting, in fact.
My response to what, just as you were talking, Natasha, I think the word that I was just musing in a way as you were talking, the difference, the importance of the word learning, and how I think the word education itself can push a button that turns a lot of people off. I think as human beings, though, we are all, every day, almost by default, we are natural learners. That's part of what being a human being is. So how do we actually continue to stimulate that natural desire in all contexts, in learning settings, in schools, in universities, on the street, in everyday life? How do we encourage that natural and develop that natural sense of learning without people sort of somehow being put off by education systems?
It's interesting, because I was talking to Kerry Facer. I don't know if you've read her book, Learning Futures, but she talks about, let's say, qualifications, and when people say they want their children to get these, they're proxies, really, for wanting a happier environment, their children to succeed, to be happy, to be gainfully employed, to be engaged. And in that sense, that's what people seem to want. And it's quite interesting that this is a kind of start of something that's happening here with lots of people. There's a spark going on, I think, when I talk. Yeah.
I just want to add something too about the creative process, that I think because people don't know what it's meant to feel like, there's an area of the creative process that emerges as chaos. And we're so used to order as being something we approve of, because we think that's a straight line. And in order for something new to emerge, chaos has to be allowed, and we have to learn how to feel comfortable with that, because that innovation can only really emerge once we've let go of the structure that was there before. And to have some faith, but not just blind faith, experienced faith, in what it then starts to feel like when something new does come into form itself. And our job really is just to hold the space so that the new can emerge, and then we can serve that, as opposed to designing it ahead of time.
I was thinking about Margaret's comment and the question you asked a few moments ago about soft subjects. I mean, yes, my experience of the arts is that they're rigorous, they're demanding intellectually, dances are also demanding physically too. But, you know, if by soft subjects you're also talking about the other kind of aptitudes and things that I think increasingly we will all need, especially young people, you know, will need when they leave school to survive comfortably in a world. Empathy, flexibility, creativity, learning how to work as part of a team, adaptability, lateral thinking, all those things. If those are soft things, well, then I think they're absolutely essential. And I think they're probably even more essential than discrete pockets of knowledge. Years ago, I read a book by Aldous Huxley called The Human Situation, in which he talked about the danger of only having people who know a lot about one thing, and how that knowledge would sit in what he called in its isolated monastic cells. And he also talked about the importance of maybe some people who maybe know less, but they know about different things, or a lot about different things. And he talked about the importance of those people who can make the bridges between those different areas of knowledge. And I think these soft skills, or aptitudes as I might call them, I don't think that they're developed just sitting behind a desk, even with the most gifted teacher. So I think, you know, in an education, that's again why I think the arts, for example, have such an important role in nurturing these different aptitudes and capacities in young people. Where else are they going to learn them? You know, and Einstein himself said, you know, if maths and technology are important, it was Einstein who said that imagination is more important than knowledge. I wish there were some people in government who would really think about that, and also recognise that the world these young people are stepping into is incredibly different from the world that they were educated in. The world has changed enormously, so we need to think, how do we best prepare those young people for the world that they are going to be entering into as graduates from school and university, and not what we all had X years ago.
Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.